Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking, and welcome to the SSR2 plenary call number 125 on the 15th of October, 2020. Review team members attending the call today include Russ, Carrie Ann, Ramkrishna, Zarko, Lauren, and KC. Observer Dennis Tan has joined. We have apologies from Denko, Denise, Eric, and Steve. Attending from ICANN.org is Jennifer and Brenda, and our technical writer, Heather. Today's meeting is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the record. And Russ, I'll turn the call over to you. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Wow, it really struck me when you said call number 125.
Me too. I was like, oh my God, is that? I hope that's not a record. But again, I hope that is a record because this is too many calls. So,
I realize that includes the calls before the pause and everything, but still, wow. Okay, let's focus on getting her done. So the first thing is to share with you where we are and the process that we are gonna go through to get finished. Yesterday or last week, we had a discussion from the abuse team and the approach they were taking, and it was pretty clear that more details were needed in order for the team to buy into that. And Casey and Lauren each took time to go through it and highlight places where that was needed. And the abuse team is working at that, and they intend to report that out next week. So the goal for this week is to finish all of the other recommendations other than those that are caught up in that. Once we have agreement to an approach for each of the sub-teams, we're going to pass over that collection of work to Heather. Heather will probably take a week or two to put it into a form. She told me that I couldn't hold her to a week. that would make it ready for a full front-to-back read by the team to determine whether we actually had consensus or caught little errors. And so the expectation is that coming out of next week's call, we'll be able to give the document to Heather. Then a week or two later, back to the team for a complete front-to-back read to make sure we've captured everything and we have consensus on it. So my expectation is that we will need to have a fairly long call at the when we go through that document. And then we'll have a confirmation that we have achieved consensus. And if so, we'll pass it over to the board and the communications team. The communications team will translate it and then post it on the ICANN website. Any questions about any of that? Okay. So let's move to the recommendations that are going to report out today. The first one is recommendation 25, and that's KC. Takes a little while for that document to load in if you haven't already loaded it. So once you do get it, it's down on page 54. Over to you, Casey.
Yeah, I'm trying to find this myself in my thing. Okay. All right. So this one is sort of caught up also in the big chunk of abuse recommendations because I feel that this access to data is overlaps with some of the ones that are currently in the abuse batch, but never mind that. Maybe this text moves or gets folded into the abuse batch, let's call it, over the next week. Well, just let's focus on the content. And then I put a bunch of stuff under the very, what is now a relatively short findings and recommendation that don't specifically relate to CZDS, but I feel like all this data access, you know, registration data, zone data access kind of belongs together as a as a, because it's in the context of meeting it for the purposes of SSR. So I'll talk about that sort of extra text that didn't fit into 25 because it was not CZS specific, and we'll figure out where to put it later. Okay, so first I tried to do the rationale and findings, which is where? Right, so it starts with this SSR2, yeah. So here's the text. I mean, I don't know if I should assume people have read the text or if I should read it. Who's on the call? I actually sent.
I think we could read it, but give the highlights that are enough to show the logic you're trying to give.
Right. So the logic is CCDS is one type of data that folks interested in security, be they law enforcement, attorneys, or security researchers, are interested in getting, and it exists because in the process of the GTLD. The 2012 GTLD program, there was multi-stakeholder negotiations that sort of led to this being a compromise of how to get access to data, or one type of data that would help keep track, including of the security commitments that were made by ICANN in the wake of the new GTLD program. Now, there are still issues with that data, although that data has proven quite valuable, useful, for SSR2 analysis purposes, at least from, I can speak as an academic, from research standpoint, there definitely have been issues with access to data and complaints about it for years. So that's the reason the recommendation is in this report, is that not only is there a large set of complaints visible on the ICANN website about access to this data, but ESSAC, who I guess includes folks that try to use it and folks that represent folks who try to use it, wrote an advisory on this topic now 3 years ago, pretty much being pinpointing specific issues that were problematic. And I quote two, it looks like, even though there's more than that. I feel like the first two really got at the crux of the problem. So I went through my understanding of a bit of the timeline of trying to get at those problems, which is the board reading the ESSAC advisory, making recommendations based on it. And then we even had a meeting with ICANN folks that were responsible for this and got some statements from them, which I've tried to incorporate into this text about, you know, why these recommendations from ESSAC, which represent requirements for changes to CCDS data to make it more accessible, have not yet been implemented, which I'll just say, speaking as an ESSAC member and an academic researcher and an SSR2 member, are frustrating for me that it's been so long, and this remains a huge category of complaints for people. But what I say is, and I say that also the, okay, one of the things that ICANN did with one of the recommendations, at least one of the recommendations in SEC 97, which is the one I'm talking about here, I'm quoting, is they punted it to the SubPro working group as a, this is a problem for new GTLDs. Now, the reason of that is the recommendation was phrased in a way of, recommendation number one, we'd like you to fix all these set of problems with CZDS access. And then recommendation two is to make sure they stay fixed, go put it in the contracts that this is what we mean by access to zone data, or to participation in CZDS, let's call it. ICANN org, I forget which, I should fix it because it feels like that would be a board thing, but I wrote org in here. Punted this to the SubPro working group, which basically implies that it's a new contracts, new GTLD issue, which it is, as it says in the recommendation. But this is not even mentioned in the SubPro's final report here on new GTLDs, a 360-page report. So it gives us concern that it's not being taken seriously, that it sort of keeps getting finger-pointed around to resolve these problems, and it's still not been done by ICANN, and they say that it's on their roadmap per the written communication we had with them, which is also a matter of public record. It's on the It's in the email, it's on the call transcript stuff, that it's on the roadmap. It's just not higher priority enough to have been done by now. And that's pretty much it. Now, the recommendation 25, the actual words, the bold font on page 55 is short and sweet, and may not be smart, as in that whole measurable stuff, such that SSR 3 would know it's been done. I have one specific example of the auto renewal, because that got mentioned a lot in the report. And I personally know what a pain in the butt that is to deal with. But that's not the only thing. So I would be very interested in feedback on other specific measurable things that folks think should be mentioned in the CZDS recommendation. Also, there's going to be a shepherd involved in these recommendations, so maybe some of that can get taken care of through that process, the sort of more specifics and how this is available in a timely manner without unnecessary hurdles. I will say that one of the public comments we got was, please be specific about what unnecessary hurdles you're talking about. And so that's why I added the lack of auto renewal, which was mentioned in 97. Another unnecessary hurdle that was mentioned in 97 actually refers to not CZDS data, like getting access to registration data, which is covered in the text below the yellow highlight line here, and wasn't here before. Like, it was in the abuse section, I think, which is why I've left text down here, but I don't know if it's appropriate to review it now, because it's probably part of the abuse stuff. But just, I would love it if people could read it and say, is there anything in here that you object to me folding into the abuse section when I take a whack at that, which will happen this weekend.
I don't know if others have questions, but I have one for you. Let's see if you have any hands. No, I don't see any hands. Okay, so can we be more granular than timely manner? Is really my only, more measurable than timely manner.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. I mean, I could take that phrase out entirely, because yes, that helps actually, because there's two aspects to that, which I should tease out apart. One is the data is supposed to be there every 24 hours, the new domain data, the new zone data. I think what this timely manner was referring to in the public draft is people's approval to get access to it, because some registries apparently were taking a long time, many times months, in order to give a given individual request or access, and others were very prompt. And I don't know the current status of that, so I'll fix that. How long should it take to get approval for the domains?
Right. So you're talking about something that's undetermined now, and you want to put it, within, 2 weeks or something. Right.
Yeah, I would even need to consult with somebody at ICANN to say, is there a current time mold, how long it will take? I think there's not. And I think that's what the recommendation 2 is getting at, is it really needs to be, or recommendation 1, it really needs to be some SLA, some commitment to say, okay, within
48 hours. Right, exactly. Even if it was to be worded to say, pick an SLA and then stick to it, would be fine with me, but that seemed very hand wavy to me.
Fair enough. Yep, I hear you.
Let's turn to anyone else on the team who has comments, and then we can talk about below the yellow if no one else does.
Russ, I think Heather and I had our hands up. I think Heather was first.
Yeah, but my questions are for what's below the yellow, so I put it back down.
I was about to say, the only hand I see is Carrie Ann. So go ahead, Carrie Ann.
Casey, I agree with you that it should probably go with the abuse section. What I had wanted to suggest, hold on, I'll just close the Google Docs and try to reopen it. What I had wanted to suggest is the sections, given how we proposed, how you're going to go through and reorganize the section on, I was wondering about the title, if we should still keep the title. I think, Brenda, can you go down? I lost the Google Docs. Can you just go to the title?
The title of recommendation N, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if we should keep the title, because if you fold it into where we have the compliance and SLA stuff under the DNS abuse stuff that we're going to do, I think it would flow better, because I remember the more we've been speaking, I think it's that, and I don't know if it's something that when Heather goes to it, we could place it there and Heather could look at it holistically. But I remember when we were speaking about how do we combine the sections that deals with the things that we want compliance to improve on. Uh-huh. And we go into a whole long discussion about them not just doing the SLA for the registrars and stuff, but at least just them improving, which is why the links I had sent the other day with how they handle complaints, how they handle different things. I think this would be one of them in terms of just their general processes. So I don't know who you'll speak to in ICANN just to see if it's a matter of, it's not on their priority list, you know? So their processes, it's not a matter that they're taking months. It's just that if they come in, these are the other things that comes before that request. So do we want to make it a priority request? So it's just to kind of, if you get the process from that person you'll speak to, I think that would better help us to phrase if it should be an SLA matter or if we should actually be asking them to prioritize this request because of how sensitive or how quick the persons might need the data, because data will change. So, yeah, so that's my only comment. All if right, we want to put it there instead, yeah.
So,
Lauren, are you here to respond to that, or do you, or are you just waiting till after KC responds to that?
I just want to make a quick note. This recommendation is in the abuse section as well.
Okay.
As well as the findings text.
Oh.
Okay, so it's been moved up. Okay. No, it's because we're looking on it in a different doc. Okay.
Yes, they're a different doc. So
yeah,
thank you for note for highlighting that, Lauren.
Okay, because I admit I wasn't quite clear on what Kirian wants me to do. So, and I,
no,
didn't
I think
know
Lauren that. Answered it. It was just to make this, when you were suggesting that you're asking if it should go in under where we have DNS abuse stuff, and I was agreeing with you, yes.
Okay.
And just saying that it should go closer to where we have the issues compliance. About compliance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I was just hoping Heather would figure out where that was, because I'm in.
Yes, that's probably a Heather thing. And if it's already across there, which Lauren has said, I guess when Heather looks at it holistically, we'll get.
I didn't know that it had been put there, but okay, let's.
I didn't know either. Thing. Yeah, so.
Heather, help. Tell us where we are.
Well, that's a fascinating question. So, I mean, I'm hearing that it goes into the abuse section. But I also understand that the abuse section is about to go through some pretty significant rewriting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually have no idea where this is going to go in there, because there effectively doesn't exist yet because it's being redone.
Right. Right. Okay. So what it would help me if I'm going to take the knife on that section, just put this in the same Google Doc as that. Whatever the URL is that I'm supposed to work on, and maybe that's a Lauren question.
That's a Lauren question.
I just want to make sure that I don't forget about this text and I fold it into the right place and then get Kirian to approve it. Whatever I've done.
Yeah. So this is Lauren. Yes. The question for me. Well, it is currently in the document with the recommendations that I'm
with
going
these amendments,
and...
Lauren? Because I think these are the amendments. I think this is pretty clear how Casey has it written here. So this text is included in that doc or the old text?
That doc currently only has recommendation text. So
does it have this? Okay, does it have this though? This how she reworded the recommendations here?
I would have to check that because I pulled it from
the fourth
section. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Casey and I will look at it on the weekend. That is already scheduled, so we'll make sure that is it.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So, any other comments on Rec 25 text? And as Kirian maybe is suggesting, the text below that I'm talking about is actually much longer than the Rec 25 text. And if folks have time to read that before next Wednesday, you would be way ahead of the game on reading the abuse text that I'll hopefully be, well, Lauren and I will hopefully be done with early next week.
Okay. I think I'm not seeing any hands, not seeing anyone trying to get our attention on audio. So I think we're ready to move to recommendation 28. The text for 28 was sent out in its own document. It's a small 1.5 pager. We could bring that up, please. Thank you. And I turn it over to Naveed to take us through this.
Yeah, am I heard?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Hi, everyone. So this is a small document, but an extension to what we had previously in recommendation 28. That was just around a paragraph, and we got around I think 7 to 8 comments about that. Most of them were coming from SSAC. And here I just tried to actually rewrite the whole recommendation and rewrite its rationale and finding by keeping in view the questions. One of the questions was why it is put in.
I stopped hearing Naveed.
Do you hear me?
You're back now.
Yeah, I think there was some problem. So I'm saying that one of the question was whether it is well placed as a future directions of SSR2 or not. So keeping in view that we have the NCAP and all that. So based on that, I tried to answer that and keep that in perspective, like why there are, or what are the issues that are still to be handled and why we believe that it is still in an open issue and it is equally relevant in the future. The other recommendation, the findings or the comments are coming from the public comment document were about, again, the NCAP revolving around that. So I tried to have a comparison between NCAP and what we do. And as we agreed upon in a call a couple of weeks ago, that we're not saying that it is something that is in addition to what NCAP says. We're just trying to highlight what are the gaps still there in the NCAP study and how we can fill that gap. So this recommendation now revolves around that aspect. So I also redrafted the recommendations that you find at the end of the document. So it's not a long one. If you want me to read that out, I can also do that. But otherwise, like as it is up, so if there is anything we can discuss about it, so I'll be happy to do that.
Okay, does anyone have any comments for Naveed?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
This is much improved text. I really appreciate it. I still have a minor concern that might not be minor, which is, and I'm looking for it in the text, I don't see it, that there is this whole, what ICANN would call and has called a framework to characterize nature and frequency, which is the, what do they call it, controlled interruption thing. And they've gotten research on it, they've got reports on it, they put money into it. Some people, including many of the public commenters on the NCAP stuff, have said this is effective, this is sufficient, there's not much more that ICANN can do. So I feel like there are some, including ICANN org itself, that are gonna say, well, what do you want that we haven't done already? So when you say framework, I'm worried it's not sort of that whole measurable thing, because they're going to say, well, we already have a framework, check. And so if, now I know you say above that, you know, recent research is not sufficient, but I think we haven't referred specifically to this, what do you call it, controlled interruption thing. Do you have you any thoughts on that? Oh, here it is.
Controlled interruption is in 28.3.
Has never been tested against evolving name collision attack scenarios. I'm not quite sure what that means. I mean, controlled interruption
Casey, what I found, so I had a deep review of the NCAP draft report and final report, and these are the things that I found as being claimed by even in that study. So they are even saying that, for example, they are presenting things mostly in a rational manner. So there are no measurements associated with the, like how, you know, the name collisions are, data is collected and if there is any data associated with that. There is no evidence that, for example, whether this controlled interruption framework is working or not. So there is no evaluation of that framework itself. So this is what I tried to put there. So of course, and I'm not saying this is a one man's effort. So there, I'm not saying it's perfect. There might be some or a lot of margin of improvement. But this is the overall like perspective of how I saw that as compared to what you have as a controlled interruption framework and as the findings of the NCAP and the comments that we received on the report of NCAP. So all of that I kept in perspective to update this recommendation, actually.
So I don't know that much about controlled interruption, but what I read this to say is we don't have any metrics in order to know whether controlled interruption is adequate. That's what I hear this calling for, is those metrics and then measure whether it is.
Fair enough. But I think we need to cite the report on controlled interruption and make sure that it's consistent with that claim, which I'll go find the report. Is this it? Yeah, this is it. I'll put it in the chat. I want to make sure I've never read this. And because I feel like they did do measurements in this report, but I haven't read it in a long time, so I might be.
Okay, Naveed, could you take that action item?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. I'll have a revisit of that and keep this comment in mind, and we'll see. Maybe we can specifically present what kind of metrics should be there or what is exactly missing.
Right, that'd be great. If you could take that action item and hopefully wrap this up in the next week, that'd be great. And if you can wrap it up on an email, even better.
Okay. As soon as possible, yeah.
Yeah, great, thank you. Any other questions from the team for Naveed?
The other problem is that 28.2, the process of producing and implementing the solution should be independent of any party with financial interest. It's sort of impossible, because ICANN will be implementing it, unless you mean they need to contract this out to another party, in which case ICANN's paying the other party. And ICANN, as has been noted many times, has a deep financial interest in expansion. So I don't know, we need to fix that a little bit. I don't know how. I can try to take a whack at it.
Thank you. I see the tension there.
That's a trickier thing, you know. So I'm not sure, if we say that it has to be completely outsourced, that would be acceptable or accepted eventually, because that will also incur a cost and, you know, things like that. So I'm not sure, how to balance this act out. Maybe you think about it, and if you have any, suggestion regarding that would be great.
Okay, Casey, was that hand for what you just said?
Yeah, sorry, take it down.
Okay, I just want to make sure that you weren't queuing up for something else. Okay, I see no other hands. Any other comments? Okay, let's go to the next one, which are some updates to things we already talked about last week, which were some updates to recommendations 23 and 26. There's a separate Google Doc for that. And I turn it over to Zarco.
Okay, thank you. In regard of recommendation 23, there were some updates in rationale and findings. And I believe we didn't do any change to recommendation. We go back to that page. So I can look at, there were a couple of questions in regard of this recommendation, and there was some misunderstanding between what was written, actually what was intention of this recommendation, and how people understood that. First of all, we didn't recommend to speed up. It would be nice, but it is not a security issue right now to speed up development of a new red zone management system, but to harden security of existing and move on to new when it is established and implemented with exchange of encrypted emails and implementing multi-factor authentication. We believe that it is not that difficult, that ICANN can do that, because a lot of social media has already done that. And talking to Kim Davis a couple times, he defended their position and not implementing the stuff that not all TLD administrators are capable of using multi-factor authentication and encrypted emails. And we believe it would be really nice to implement that as optional functionality. There are a lot of European CCTLDs, I talked to them on central workshops, that would like to see that implemented in a root zone management system. Please read the rationale and findings and comment on that. Is that clear or we miss something?
Okay, I'm not seeing any hands. I have none myself. Anyone else? Okay, let's move to 26 then.
Okay, 26 is was the tough one, and Heather helped with both recommendations a lot, putting my thoughts into nice wording. And we rewrite this recommendation pretty much because I believe, and I would like to hear from somebody who originally wrote that, this recommendation. The intention was to have Ibero process tested from end to end. So tested from escrow provider to the end of footing TLD into root zone. And sorry, my phone is is bringing. So we'd like to see that. And there are also a couple of recommendations asking ICANN to write clear text about decision-making, about entire process with flowcharts and stuff like that. There is already documented. It's pretty hard to find it, but because it is embedded into agreements with Ibero providers, but there is document which is pretty well written, and it is clear and clearly says when and how Ibero is declared and what each party has to do. So we ended up with those two recommendations saying that ICANN should coordinate end-to-end testing of the Ibero process and to make that test plan in accordance with, actually that's somewhere in findings and rationale, that plan should be in accordance with ISO 22300. And another one is that to make this common transition process manual easy to find, because it is really it is mentioned a couple of times on a Ibero web page, but it is hard to find because it is part of the agreement.
So Zarko, I am the one who wrote some of this text. What happened was there was a review of this done before the pause, and during one of the face-to-face meetings, it was realized that it never made it into the report. So when we broke up into working sessions, I took the notes from the pre-pause work and put them into findings and recommendations in order for people to talk through. I think you've improved what I did, so I'm totally satisfied as the person who wrote the original words.
Thank you.
Anyone else have, maybe somebody who's been involved in the Ibero?
Yeah, well, Ross, it's Carrie. I wasn't involved, but I was going to give that background in terms of the pre-pause as well and what happened, because I remember following this one while it wasn't something that I specialized in or I wrote. And I agree with you that the text has improved it. And Zarko, I remember the intent pre-pause was that ability to hold them to standards for this. And if you're able to include the reference to ISO, even as a footnote, because I'm not seeing it in the text. And I know you mentioned it when you were explaining. I think it was 2300 you're suggesting?
It is, yeah. It is.
Yeah, it's not in the text, it's not on the text on the screen.
No, it is up.
Up? Okay. I don't know if we should put it in the recommendation as a footnote, because it's in the findings, but not in the recommendation.
Okay.
And I think they would read it differently in terms of that just being background. So if we could probably reference it in the specific recommendation somewhere as a footnote, at least it would be tied to it. That was my only suggestion.
Anyone else?
Okay, I see hands from Heather and Casey.
I was having trouble getting the commented version here. I think I have no hand. I'll take it down.
Okay. Heather?
With regards to tying in the ISO standard into the recommendation itself, is that what you do we want them to follow exactly that? The way it was phrased was, you know, this is a best practice, you know, as indicated by things such as. But that gives ICANN at least some room to make its own decisions as to how exactly are they going to do this. So I'm not sure what what should actually go in the recommendation itself?
It was just when he was explaining it, Heather, he had mentioned it in the text when he was reading 26.1. Mm-hmm. So I was just checking if it was something that we wanted to reference there as well, or just have it in the background. It's just, if it's just like a recommendation as a reference, but when mm-hmm. Zarko explained it just now, it sounded as if he was suggesting that it could have been one that they used. So if not, I guess it's fine with it being in the background text.
Right. I think putting citations, like footnotes. Well, I think putting footnotes in the recommendations mm-hmm. is probably not a great idea.
Okay. We'll get it like by you. No, we'll get it by you. As I'm saying, it's just a suggestion at the end of the day. It's just to make all the text flow the same. So it's fine.
You know, I can agree with Kirian if we recommend if we have recommendation clearly saying that ICANN should implement ISO standard. But if we don't have that, in that case, we have to leave up to ICANN to decide what standard we'll use for this.
I have absolutely no opinion as to whether they should do that or not, so that's your decision.
No, it's putting it out to the group. How it's worded now, it just says that they should coordinate end-to-end testing of the processes and determine it on intervals. It's not saying they should follow a standard in the recommendation. So it's just for us to decide, do we want them to follow a standard in the recommendation, or it's a matter that do your end-to-end testing with no reference or guide as to what you should consider. So my only recommendation was at the top, we have it as something for them to consider. But here, we're not mentioning in 26.1 for them to implement any standards. So it's just to see what we wanted.
So, but I think the flow chart actually is pretty good in terms of what the steps are.
But that's in the findings, though. I'm just trying to say, I don't know what the logic of
correct.
The document
it is
like in the end. So I just want to see if it's not in the recommendation, it's just like, you know, like background talk, like, hey, this is really nice. But just test when you can. That's different from saying, hey, this is really nice. We'd recommend you looking into this as one of the methods you use for testing. It's kind of different for me.
No, I don't think so, because I don't think we're asking them to change the eBurrow process because we don't have enough testing data to know whether to recommend any changes. But by testing it, people will know whether it's working or not. Is the way I interpreted it, what I had in mind when I wrote it the first time, based on the notes from pre-pause. That was my interpretation. Go ahead, Zarko.
In findings, we said that we are looking at eBurrow as a specific disaster recovery for failing TLDs. And, you know, we should follow testing for the disaster recovery to test, is process okay? Is our plan okay? And also, are all actors ready to fulfill their tasks if disaster is activated? So we should check, actually ICANN should check everything, and I believe this sentence saying end-to-end testing process says everything.
Right, because my memory was that the one time they did run a test, it did not start at the beginning.
No, they and also in as part of the agreement, there is maybe two-thirds of page saying how testing is done. And it is just fragmented and not from end to end, full eBurrow process testing.
Lauren, I see your hand.
Yeah, so just want to make a note, right? When we referred to international standards, stuff like that, in the risk section, we kind of put it along the lines of, you know, you can use this standard, but you're also free to choose another accepted one. So I just want to make a note. This is how we've handled it there, which might be an option to kind of mention it like that here. But I think the discussion kind of went away from that anyway.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So we just referenced ISO standard over there, and we'll leave that up to ICANN. Maybe we can add some wording saying that following acceptable standards or whatever in recommendation, not referring only to ISO.
I agree with that, Sarko. Probably after the, I understand what you're saying, Ross. Like I said, this is not my era of specialty, so I can't offer like a technical opinion. It's just in terms of how it, just in terms of specific instructions to them. I think what Zarko said, we could probably, Heather, I don't know if it's something that could probably go, you probably know where best to place, like, according to acceptable standards, end-to-end testing, according to acceptable standards, maybe somewhere
I'm
there.
I'm gonna channel Casey for just a second. Acceptable. What does that actually mean? I mean, acceptable to whom? I can't turn that into an actionable item because acceptable isn't just entirely open to interpretation.
I guess I'll acquiesce to Ross then. If end-to-end testing covers them utilizing all the standards and available testing processes that would be applicable to this, I guess it should be fine then.
The point of those words were that the last test they did only tested part of the process, and end-to-end was in test the entire process. And if you would prefer to replace end-to-end with the entire process, that would be fine.
No, that's fine, Russ. I was just as I say, it was just a reference to the standard. I just wanted to know if we wanted to recommend them using it or not. That was right. It. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, we have some minor edits proposed. Anything, any other comments on other parts? Lauren, I saw your hand come and go.
I wrote it in the chat. Why don't we mention like what you just discussed specifically to kind of say, this is the specific issue. You know, it might be just the footnote. So then everyone is clear, okay, this is what they didn't like.
We do point to the report of the exercise, which was a tech day at ICANN 55. But we could add there that
well,
it did not.
If I may, if you go up to the third paragraph in the rationale and findings, what we said was ICANN appears to have participated in only minimal testing. Where pieces of the process were tested.
Right, exactly.
And so we have mentioned that.
Sorry, this is the problem with this because you can't see the whole text. So I didn't realize.
Yeah, it points to the report. It says which actual TLD was tested. I think it's there.
Yeah, as a sort of general aside, one of the challenges I think we've been having in working on the recommendations themselves without looking at the findings is that those two things, the findings and the recommendations, must tie together fairly closely. And that doesn't mean repeating, you know, the findings and the recommendations or the recommendations and the findings. It means you say what you found and then you say the recommendation.
Heather, you have no way to know this, but you're sounding like Naveed.
Yay!
Because Naveed, when we were reading the SSR1 recommendations to see whether they were fully implemented, about 1,000 times he said what you just said. You can't read the recommendation without reading the findings to know what they really meant to be done.
Naveed, you are my people.
Oh, sorry, I just a moment of deja vu there. Long before you were involved in this.
That's what meets
you. But you're both right. Okay. I'm seeing no hands. I think that means we're good. All right. Thank you. If you could make the final little edit so then we'll pass this to Heather, that would be great. Just send her an email when you put them into the documents. And this means that we're going to wrap up about 5 minutes early today. And the abuse subteam will report out next week. And hopefully that will get us to a place where all of the public comments have been addressed. Is there any other business for the review team today? Okay, I'm not hearing any. So thank you. And please, especially the folks on the abuse team, have a productive week. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you all. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.